There's a story about a famous preacher who happened to be a bit of a fraud. He gave great and eloquent sermons, but there was a secret. No one ever knew that, in fact, they had been written by his staff associate, who got no credit for her hard work. Finally, this staff associate's patience ran out. One day, the preacher was speaking to thousands of expectant listeners, and by the end of the first page of his sermon, the congregation was already on the edge of their pews. As he got to the bottom of page 2, he read the stirring words, "And this, my friend, takes us to the very heart of the book of 2 Kings, which is," only to turn to page 3 and see nothing but these dreaded words, "You're on your own now." From today's first reading of 2 Kings, "You're on your own now" is probably just what Elisha felt the day his mentor Elijah departed up into heaven. "Now I'm on my own." The story of the great prophet Elijah taken up to heaven in a fiery whirlwind. All of a sudden I thought, well, I wonder if that was a tornado. I've never had that thought, just thought I'd share it with you. This story was the inspiration of the great African-American spiritual "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." But clearly, there was another influence to the writing of this song. The song grew out not only out of the fiery whirlwind of ancient Hebrew legend, but out of the fiery crucible of inhumanity that was American slavery in the 18th and 19th centuries. This was one of the many slave songs that Africans in bondage sang to express their faith, their aspirations, and their courage. At the very least, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot" was a reflection of the faith held by many slaves that their bondage would one day be over as God's chariot and band of angels arrived to take them home to heaven. Many people believe that it means much more than that. The song was written by an African-American slave named Wallace Willis, apparently sometime prior to 1860. Willis was what is referred to as a Choctaw freed man. These were African slaves who, after the emancipation sealed by the Civil War, were released into custody of the Choctaw Indians, Native Americans, first tribe. But prior to that, Willis was owned by a Mississippi man, Britt Willis, who gave Wallace his English name. Wallace and his wife Minerva were sent by Britt Willis to work as slaves at Spencer Academy for Choctaw Boys in southeastern Oklahoma sometime before the Civil War. Now, my people are in southeastern Oklahoma, so I have an affinity for that land and that area of the country. Uncle Wallace and Aunt Minerva, as they came to be known by the boys, sang a number of songs apparently written by Willis. When Reverend Alexander Reed heard them singing, he loved the songs and had his choir the Jubilee Singers performed them while touring the country. Many African American spirituals were encoded messages about the path to freedom. In his autobiographical writings, Black abolitionist Frederick Douglass revealed to his readers that some songs interpreted by outsiders as referring to life after death in heaven were actually understood within the enslaved African community as signifying a determination to reach freedom in the North, outside the reach and power of Southern plantation owners. In that case, the meaning of Swing Low, Sweet Chariot's lyrics then would be something like this. The Sweet Chariot is the Underground Railroad, which descends into the slave-holding states to carry slaves home to freedom in the North. The Jordan River may refer to the Mississippi or the Ohio rivers. The band of angels that appeared across the river are workers of the Underground Railroad. Well, what's all this got to do with Elijah? Here's my take. The whole story about a chariot sweeping down and a whirlwind taking the prophet up into the sky is really a story about Elijah passing the mantle of his role as prophet onto his son and protege, Elisha. Elijah was a prophet in the great ancient Hebrew tradition. His role was to speak truth to power, and he carried it out with courage and conviction. He spoke up against the king for his abuse of power and his pursuit of idols. Elisha picked up the mantle of prophecy when his mentor was taken up into heaven by that whirlwind. The garment, a mantle, was typically a large, loose-fitting garment made of animal skin, probably sheepskin. Prophets were known for wearing these large, flowing garments as a sign of their authority, their calling from God as God's chosen spokesperson. Some theologians see the mantle as a symbol for the Holy Spirit. In my mind's eye, you are all wearing a mantle wrapped around you. You're all wearing a cope. A mantle that has been handed down from generation to generation over the last 4,000 years. Just like the mantle that was handed to African captives, chained and taken to a foreign land to be pressed into brutal servitude. The mantle wrapped around them with their courage, their singing, with their protests, and during their flights to freedom. They ultimately continue to speak truth to power, and the walls of slavery finally came tumbling down. My message this morning is this. The mantle of prophecy has been handed down to each of us. For example, in J.K. Rowling's book, The Deathly Hallows, Harry Potter is told by his mentor, Professor Albert Dumbledore. He says to Harry, "It's a curious thing, Harry. but perhaps those who are best suited to power are those who never sought it. Those who, like you, have leadership thrust upon them and take up the mantle because they must, to find, to their own surprise, that they wear it well. The question is this: are you being called to lead in surprising ways? Surprising because you do not think that you are necessary a leader. Today, the church is called to pick up the mantle of God's prophetic calling. This week, as we pause to celebrate in great gratitude our many freedoms in the United States, so many and so unique, my call to the church is to reconnect and be that band of angels, to be the whirlwind church, to be that sweet chariot, to be God's vehicle of freedom, which brings all God's people home, home to God's love and prophetic justice in our neighborhood and in the world. We are called to remember that we stand in a long, long line of prophetic voices, from Elijah to Elisha to Wallace Willis. We are called to sing with that great chorus of faithful souls. If you get there before I do, tell all my friends I'm coming too. Swing low, sweet chariot. Come for to carry me home. May we be home. Amen.